What is going on, Breakthrough family? It is so good to be with you. If you don't know me, my name is Jay. I'm one of the team here at Breakthrough. I'm here with our senior pastor.
Hi, everybody.
Pastor Peter Lewis. And we're just doing a quick discussion following on from the message, When Doing Good Has Worn You Down. And if you haven't seen that message, quickly go and check it out. It's on YouTube. You can find it on Facebook.
Go to our website, breakthrough.org.au. It's in our messages there.
That's awesome. It was an awesome time. And we'd love to quickly discuss with you, following on from the stuff that I discussed in that message. What do we do now? You know, I pray that you've had an awesome time and God's been able to reveal to you stuff and give you clarity and help you find that true worth and find that true value in what he paid for you. So now what do we do going forward? How do we live this out? How do we take this into our day-to-day lives? If doing good isn't bringing us worth, do we even do good at all? Like, these are some questions that can start to rise. So we'd love to have a quick discussion with you and talk about that. And just talk about what you can do going forward. What are some steps you can take this week and into your future about how we can start doing good, but not doing it in a way that's trying to provide us purpose or value, but doing it in a way that is more of an expression of what God has done in us.
Yeah, I love what you shared, because the message was basically how Jay got a good message, but then got the broken part of it. I got the understanding a little bit skew-if, which is that if I do good things and then I'm a good person.
Yes,
it's like I do good things, so therefore I'm a good person. But then he began to feel the pressure. If I don't do good things, if I can't maintain doing good things, and then he began to find out there was some good things he struggled with to do.
Yeah, totally.
And then his whole value system was messed up. So that was a broken value system, and it was a broken pathway for that. And then Jay said, you know, gave us the opportunity to say, listen, we don't have to do that. If we turn to Jesus, there is a better way. And what I thought it's great that we can actually share now what that better way is in a little bit more detail. Because this is, you know, it's one thing, that's the broken path, but what is the true path? What is the real way of getting a value?
That's exactly it. So we'd love to quickly discuss with you what that looks like going forward. My phone decided to close on me with my notes. Because one of the things is, does God intend for us to do good? If this is all by grace, and if it's all by being saved and believing in him that he bought us, which is a truth, and it is a biblical truth, and I've preached from it, so obviously I believe it. Does he also intend for us to do good? How does that look? So, Pastor Peter, why don't you start with us, and we'll go into the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And basically, this is just a good way of, maybe if you're wondering this, what to do, why don't you... You can take this.
Okay, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That sort of gives God's big picture.
Yeah,
he said, this is what I had. I had a plan for people to walk in good works.
Yes.
And in fact, that was always his plan. But then through the temptation of the devil and the failure of Adam and Eve, right through to our own failures, we have broken that good plan and we have moved away from it. And we've messed it up.
Yeah.
And God says, well, this is my plan to bring you and to make you my workmanship, my special masterpiece, one translation says.
I love that.
I think, New Living Translation says to we are God's masterpiece.
That's awesome.
He's got a plan for us. He's created us. But what is that plan? To walk out good things that he's always planned for us.
So, not just doing good, but walk out in the good that he wants for us. See, he's a loving God. He's a God that wants good for us. It is not one where we just do good and suffer. God wants to bring blessings to us as well.
So that's his plan, to be good, to do good, to change our world with the good things that we do.
That's awesome.
So, but how does that plan work? That's what he desires. That's what he wants. Let's just break it down a little bit to see how that comes into being and what his plan for getting that activated in our lives. So the first thing you need to do is recognize that we actually struggle, that we are a broken people needing healing and needing wholeness.
Awesome.
There is a tendency in the world today to say, hey, you're just amazing. You're brilliant, you're wonderful. And I understand you're trying to be encouraging and stop people feeling terrible.
Yeah.
But at the very heart of who we are, we have broken our relationship with God, and we are what the Bible calls sinners.
Yeah.
We are a people that have pushed God away and done things our own way. Even if we think we're very good, none of us can ever stand before God and say, well, listen, I was perfect. I never did anything wrong.
The fact is that in the end, because of the way it works, Adam and Eve, as our, at the very start, the start of our heritage, they were sinners.
Yeah.
And if we come from their bloodline,
it's built in, isn't it?
We were born It says something in the Bible, we were born sinners. It's not saying that you're good until you make your first mistake. It is a, from the get-go, you cannot be anything but a sinner, but someone who's made these mistakes.
Yeah, we're born with a bend towards sin. It's our nature. And the amazing thing is when Jesus came to the earth, it actually says, and I'd like to read from Luke chapter 5, there was a group in the ones that Pharisees Jake talked about in the message. If you haven't listened, in fact, if you've come here, you can listen to this message. Totally. But I also invite you to go back to the website.
Links there.
And listen to Jay's message because he talks a bit about what the Pharisees were and who they but they were like the ultra. We do it right by ticking all the boxes.
We get it perfect.
And so verse 29 says, Levi, who was a tax collector, which the Pharisees hated tax collectors, gave a big reception for Jesus in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax gatherers and other people who were reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees, you know, their heads popping, you can see them. It says that the Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax gatherers and the sinners?
Yeah.
You know, these terrible people.
Totally.
You know, because the Pharisees are like, we're so wonderful and we're so perfect. How dare you eat with the sinners?
Yeah.
And
these people were the ones that the Pharisees were coming to, like, tell off. They're the ones that the Pharisees like, let's get them.
They're almost like, these were the hopeless ones.
They're the hopeless ones. The ruin.
They're terrible. They're not good like us.
Mm.
And look what Jesus said. Jesus answered them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. In other words, Jesus said, you know, you guys, you don't need help because, you know, they do need help.
Yes.
But they're not willing. They're not ready.
They're not the ones that accept that they need help.
No, they're so full of pride. He said, so Jesus said, I'm not here for you guys because you don't want any help.
That's it.
He
says,
I'm looking for the sick. And he said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And it's like, oh, Jesus actually came looking for those who are not saying, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job here, Jesus. Do you reckon you can maybe help me a little bit? No, no. Awesome. The first place to start is to recognize, hey, Jesus, I really need help. That's a sinner. And I'm a broken person and I need your help. And there's no shame in the sense of, oh, I'm different. All of us, the Bible says, all of us, Romans 3, all of us have sinned. All of us has fallen short of God's glory. We are all in that place, but we need his help and we need to come. And the first step, recognizing that, because then the second step is exactly what Jesus said in verse 32, says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But he says, I've come to call them to repentance.
Mm.
In other words, I'm not saying, hey, just come to me and be like you are.
Yeah,
he says, I'm here to cause you to repentance. That word repentance literally means to make a change in the way you think about who you are and what you are.
Yeah, awesome.
And to change your whole life perspective.
That's awesome.
I'm calling you to change your life perspective by coming to me.
Yeah, nice.
Totally change who
you see yourself as.
Yep. Who's in charge of your life.
Yeah, nice.
I'm calling you to replace you as the master of your life and let me take over your life, says Jesus. I'm calling you to take your life of sin and transfer it to my life, which is going to be righteousness. Now, some people think, what you're saying is now I've got to get on and do the good things. And that's where I got into trouble with the first place.
I think that's one of the great things. And I think it's possibly one of the great misconceptions about Christianity and about this salvation by grace compared to works, which is what it's often referred to in these areas, is that often people see the first half of repentance, which is I give the old me, I give the sinner, I give the mistakes, I give the shame, I give the burdens to Jesus. That's what he died on the cross to take. That is an awesome part of about the truth of salvation.
Yeah.
There is nothing that is incorrect in that. But that's actually only half the story. The other half of the story is he then said, now take on my righteousness. Take on who I am. Take
100%.
On my spirit. And the issue is if we just go to Jesus' feet and we lay down our burdens and we leave empty-handed, things are going to find their way back into it. If we lay down who we used to be and leave ourselves completely empty, that space is going to have to fill itself. And what's going to happen is you fill yourself with trying to, okay, now let's go get it right.
Yeah.
Now let's go do this thing properly, you know?
Yeah, you can't be a vacuum. You can't say,
that's it.
I give you my sins. That's it. Well, you just go away and then...
And wait, you're just going to go back to the old temptation of trying to do good.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want now. Oh, we want to please God. Let's go do good. But this time we're going to do the good the right way, you know? That's it.
Yeah, if someone comes to me and they says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to follow the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, nice.
I'm going to do this. I give them I've done this for 30 years since I recognized. I give them this. My good luck with that handshake. Because it's not going to happen.
Mm.
I don't care how determined you are. I don't determine. declare how self-controlled you are. Yes, you can change certain things, and yes, you can bring things under control. Mm. But when it comes to the very heart, you can't control the ugliness in your thoughts.
Totally.
Even people who are like, I'm doing an amazing job. Mm. I'm so obedient. Well, you've let pride get in.
That's it.
So now I'm proud. It doesn't matter. But that's actually normal. If you think that's so frustrating, it means I can't win. Yes. We cannot win in our own strength. It's not intended. So
we're not telling you that just to make you feel hopeless. We're telling you that because the key of this is once you can have that understanding and that realization, then we get to step into this awesome side of once we realize that we can't just leave our sin at the feet of Jesus and do that and then go and accept that he loves us and then go and try and live life. If we accept that there's something else on this salvation thing, that is the key to this. And that's what we want to talk about here.
Let me give you a verse. This is one of the most life-changing verses that ever has. Mm. It's impacted me.
Yeah, awesome.
I often go back to it. I think about the truth in it. It says, God made him, Jesus.
This is 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yes, very good. I'm so excited. Didn't yes, I forgot. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Awesome.
Let's just break that down for a second. It says, God took our sin nature, the mistakes we've made, and the very heart of who we are, put it on Jesus on the cross.
Awesome.
Jesus received that by faith. He said, I'm receiving it. I'm allowing it to come to me. He became our sin. He became a sinner of the worst kind. Mm. And it says in 1 John, God poured out his wrath on him, and Jesus was able to satisfy the judgment of God for our sin. It wasn't on me, it was on Jesus. So but that's only the first half. It says he made him who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he made him to be sin, he would make that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a transfer back.
Yeah.
The righteousness and the wholeness of God.
Imagine it's almost like, if he, I know it sounds silly, but handing this to me, and then it was a exchange back. But the thing you have to almost think about here is, I'm going to play God because I came up with the illustration, so I get to play God. Dad, or Pastor Peter hands me this.
So you come and take it from me.
So I come and
I'm a sinner. This is my sin.
The sin.
And sin is red as...
And I take the sin. But the thing is, God doesn't just give us the righteousness. If I just handed that to him, but Pastor Peter didn't take that, it falls down.
No.
It's something that we then embrace and take on. It's like that element of us saying, this is now who I am. I can't...
Yeah. You offer it to me.
I offer it to you, but you can't but
I've
leave...
Got, I've got to take it.
That's it. You I've can't leave empty-handed.
Jesus, by faith, took our sin on himself.
Awesome.
We, by our faith, take it. In fact...
Otherwise, you're going to come back with a whole lot more power rates every single week.
It says in 2 Corinthians 5, so I'll just go back two verses earlier to what I was just reading, that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed us to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. Mm. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What's he saying? He's saying God has done everything
to
get our sins dealt with, but now we have a job, and it's called ambassadors of reconciliation, saying, I come to you and I say, hey, Jay, you're not actually a sinner. God has taken your sin. Mm. Here it is. You need to take this. Mm. It's already available to you. Mm. You need to receive it.
That's it. It's that acceptance is the second half of it.
That's right. We receive that
by faith. It's not something that we're needing to be done. It's something that's already been made. And now it's on us by faith and it's a really, it can be a tricky thing because it's not something you can necessarily wrap your head around, but it's just by faith. We talked about yesterday in Philippians 3, where he says it is a righteousness that comes by faith. And it's by that saying, you know what? Even if I can't see it, even if I don't feel it, even if I can't imagine how it could ever be possible, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe in you that this is who I am. And it's that expectation of then saying, I'm expecting to see that work out now.
So let me just give you a summary of this process as given by Paul to the church at Ephesus. He said
This is Ephesians 4:22.
Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, the New Living Bible, which is rotten through and through, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So let me break that down. Mm. So it says, hey, KJ, you... I'm going to take your sin. What does it say there in 22?
Lay aside the old self.
Yep. So this is gone. The old self. This is gone. Mm. And now I've put righteousness in there. But what you need to do is you need to now see yourself as the righteousness.
Put it on.
Put it on. Understand what it means. And it says there, renewed in the spirit of the mind. In other words, the way you think now needs to change. You need to have a transformation about how you see yourself.
We can almost have this temptation and this expectation of, if you hold that, it's like, we give you that, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my life holding on to this thing that, oh, if only one day, someday, when I get to heaven, I'll be this. And it's like, or we hold up as this, like, this idolized, we strive for this, but we know whenever. It's no, God says, you take it
now
and put it on your new self now. It's that taking and not just holding it out there, but holding it as strong as you held onto that sin and the old self. Make this your new self.
Now, what's happened is when you actually receive Jesus, when you did that repentance, which is turn away from your own life, embrace Jesus, and ask for his forgiveness, it says he takes our sin, but it also says he actually gives us righteousness. Mm. Now, what I'm saying, it's actually in there.
Yeah.
He's put it in.
Totally.
The righteousness is there. Now, what our job is to begin to bring that out into our behavior and our lives. That's the good works prepared. We're not trying to convince, we're not trying to do good works.
Where was it in Ephesians 2 where it said the good works that is laid before us, I believe it said.
Yeah, Ephesians 2 verse 10.
Ephesians 2:10 where we said for the, but we should walk, we should, but Christ Jesus, for created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. It's that righteousness he's given to us. He's made the way already, and it's on our faith and expectation of seeing that person come to pass.
So you've got that righteousness. It's in there.
But I can't just say, oh, I'm not worthy. It's a
nope. No. You've got to change the way you think.
That's it.
The way you talk, which is part of the... It says the spirit of the mind, which is all about how you view yourself, how you talk about yourself, how you go about your life. And you say,
and I think
I'm righteous.
That's awesome. I think one of the things here, I just want to quickly say to someone, it's very easy to fall into the temptation of seeing this as pride, and false, and like, and seeing, oh,
how dare you say you're so righteous.
I can't say I'm perfect. I can't say I'm righteous. I can't say I'm clean. I think Chris Vallotton, he's a pastor from America from a church called Bethel, who put it really well, where he said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, you know, thinking of yourself as worse, but thinking of yourself less and thinking of that old self less. It's not... This isn't the reason this is humility is it's because it's not the true humility isn't thinking of myself as a worse person, but thinking of myself as the new creation and thinking of myself less and thinking of the new me more. It's seeing myself as not seeing myself as perfect, because that was what that's how you become a Pharisee. That's where the Pharisees went wrong, is they saw themselves as that perfection. It's instead seeing
Can we give an example? Let's say Jay's got a terrible temper.
Yeah.
Okay. And he often just can't help himself. Mm. You know, things happen, boils over, spills out.
Yeah.
He abuses people. He gets mad. Mm. And so it's like, you know, this is one of the things I try really hard to be good.
Yeah. Nice.
But this just spills out. Mm. Okay. So what we're saying is, hey, no, Jesus, you know, Jay, actually what you are in your heart is you are self-controlled and you are good.
Yeah.
And
nice.
You are not an abuser. And
I'm a kind person. I'm a gentle person. Yep. I'm a loving person.
I control my mouth. Yep. I don't. And you don't drink your righteousness. We won't have any righteousness left for the example. Just be careful. So Jay could say, okay, well, I'm actually a hot tempered.
I couldn't say that myself. Have you not seen what I've done? Do you not see
how I yesterday, what did you do? You know?
Yeah.
Oh. And you say, no, I say, hang on a sec. You haven't got that. That's me.
Yep.
Jesus has taken the punishment for that. Jesus has become that. And you say, well, hang on. So you got to talk about yourself in light of what Jesus has done.
And that's why it's not seeing that's why it's not that you're seeing yourself as some great person. It's saying, hey, I see myself as some trash sinner who is throwing that aside. And ultimately, if you try and talk badly about this person, in essence, you actually try and talk badly about Jesus.
Exactly.
You're talking badly about the Holy Spirit who's inside of you and saying, so it's wrong. I like, it says we were created in the image of God, and that's who we accept when we do this and become him. That's speaking poorly of God. And like, ultimately we should speak really positively and say how great this person is, not because it's us, because the person that we should have spoke badly about, we've thrown that aside and we've accepted this person. And that is one, it's the image of God. And we're actually saying, hey, it's not me, it's the God in me. That's who I'm speaking positively about, you know?
Just a few verses in front of verses 21 where it says he made him a new nation.
In 2 Corinthians sin. 5.
It says now in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So I say, Jay, you're actually a new creature. Mm. And you say, now this is the old way of thinking. You say, yeah, when I do some good things, I can say I'm good.
Totally, that's it.
When I say, no, you're good before you do the good things. You say, how can that be? That's not how it works. Mm. I say, no.
Sorry.
You're drinking your right for this. So hold it up. Mm. So Jay, you need to say about yourself, I am a kind person. I am well controlled. I control my tongue. I don't have a temper tantrum.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm like Jesus. I walk in peace. Yeah. And this can
be whatever bad you're trying to outdo with the good by doing more good.
Yeah. You make this your confession. Yeah. And you declare this, and then okay. And you know what? And straight away you get these thoughts in the back of your head, or even someone might say them to you. You say, you're good. You've got to be joking. You've got the worst temper of anyone I know. How dare you say this? You must be full of pride. You must be pride. You must be delusional.
Yeah.
And you say, no. I'm speaking about what God has done for me and what's the new me. I am a brand new creature in Christ. Mm. And as that person, I am this. And so in the back of your head, you get this, nah, you're kidding yourself. Mm. And then you might even go somewhere and you might blow up.
Yeah.
And you say, well, see, you are this indeed. And you say, no, I repent. I declare Jesus has taken that. This is who I am.
This is a process. This isn't a 180 that you're going to get perfect straight away.
So remember in Ephesians, it says, put on the new man. It's a process of putting this on, the spirit of the mind, renewing the spirit of the mind. Mm. And you know, what happens is eventually out of this good, if you give it freedom and if you hold fast to this and you don't allow, just give yourself over the other way, you would find you don't do it because you've clenched your teeth and you've just chosen to be good. You do it because that's truly who you are. You're such a new creature. Mm. And I've heard so many testimonies. I've seen it in my life. Mm. I've seen it in others. I've seen it in Jay, where you know he struggles with things. But then you know, it's not as if we're just forever struggling and holding on. We actually become transformed by what God has done for us.
And I think that's one where that's how we can do these good things and we can continue to work good. Because as we've said in where was it? In Ephesians 2, where God intends for us to do good. That's his plan. But unlike what we talked about yesterday, this is the good that doesn't come with that pressure that we talked about in the sermon. This isn't the good that doesn't come with that pressure of, it doesn't come with that feeling of, it's like a house of cards that are about to fall and we're just doing more and more good until we can keep, wait, this is the good that is sustainable. And it, as you said, it's not through us, it's through God in us and the new creation.
Can I give you a challenge? This is what I want you to do going forward.
Yeah.
I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 5.
And yeah, awesome.
Two verses. Verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Awesome.
And he made him a new no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
That's 21.
I want you to begin to make those declarations.
Awesome.
And begin to expect those to be outworked in your life. Mm. That I'm a brand new creature. In Christ, I'm not the old me.
Mm.
The old me has died with Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm a brand new person, made new.
Awesome.
And I have the righteousness of Jesus.
That's
it's
awesome.
Been given to me, and I am receiving it, and I'm walking in it. And if I stumble and fall, then I just say, God, I thank you for your forgiveness.
Yeah, nice.
I thank you that you've taken that on the cross. But that is not the real me.
Yeah, nice.
That is not the expression of who I am. Because who I am is come working out. You know, because at the core of who you are, you're actually born again. That's it. You know, in one sense, that's why when you do the wrong thing, it bothers you so much because it's now cutting across who you really are.
Awesome.
The idea is don't get under guilt and don't get under condemnation. Allow Jesus, his freedom and his liberty to set you at peace and say, I'm paid for. And now I'm just going to rejoice and thank God that these things I celebrate that 5:17, I'm a brand new creature in Jesus. And in verse 21, that I have the righteousness of God. I want you to have a party.
Awesome.
I want you to get up
praise
God.
Well, this week, what can we do this week? You know, this is something I love. I love the concept of, in these moments, it can be hard thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to change my whole life? Yeah. I've got 50 years ahead of me. What am I going to do? Take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
What can you do today?
Yes.
What can you do this week? Okay. So we're going to give you two. I'd love to give you two challenges. Number one, start today by declaring the new you.
Yeah.
You know, it says, actually in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, it talks about how, the life and death, you know, things coming to life or things falling apart is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
This process can be in the power of the tongue and in the power of our words. So speak out. Don't just think it, speak out. Who's the new you? Maybe the old you was filled with jealousy and insecurity.
Yep.
I am fully secure in who I am. I'm a loving person. Maybe you're someone battle anger. I am peaceful. Start speaking these things out over yourself. Start today. Maybe getting in your car to go to work. Say over yourself, who is the new you? Who is this new creature? Who is this new creation?
Based on who Jesus is.
Yeah,
and you just take his nature. This is not wishful thinking. This is not saying, oh, I wish I was kind. I wish I was good. No. You've been given the nature of Jesus. Mm. So you just take what you say.
That's
Jesus
it.
Is kind. Jesus is righteous. Jesus walks in peace. Jesus walks in love.
Awesome.
These are my characteristics.
Jesus is full of faith. Jesus is full of, and through him, I am now these things.
Yep.
Say that over yourself.
That's my nature now.
Yep. And step two, do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is not a once off, I'm going to say it. And now, because that's when we get back into the trying to do good ourselves. Don't say, okay, one time I'm going to say this and then I can throw this process behind.
It's a renewing,
it's a renewing
the
of the mind every single day. So keep doing it. Just keep saying it over and over. The less you feel it, the more you should be saying it. And see yourself and expect that. As it said, it's by faith this works. Don't just say this and then expect yourself to go in. I'm not saying that you strive for perfection because that's not what this is about. I'm saying have that faith and that confidence and say, you know what? I may not be able to see a way this is going to come work, but I trust you, God, that a God that loved me enough to die on a cross for me, he's not going to forsake me now. He's not going to leave me now. So have that confidence and that faith of saying, I say this with the expectation that I'm going to see Jesus do this through me. And I am going to see this come to pass. Even if 100%. I don't feel it, even if the first day you say that on your way to work and go to your boss and blow up, keep saying it and believe. And because you will see. I remember there was... I remember you telling me the story of you, I think it was you or maybe it was some pastor you heard, was helping someone who had an addiction to smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And they said they could, and there was, told them to just say, I actually heard
Keith Moore share this story about he went to a man who couldn't give up smoking, just struggled, and he said, you know what, you're not a smoker in Christ, Jesus Christ. And they're like, guys, like, you know, you got to be kidding, right? I'm a smoker. And they said, no, what you need to do is you need to declare who you are in Jesus.
Yeah, nice.
So you need to say, I'm not a smoker, I don't like cigarettes, I don't want cigarettes.
Yeah.
And he said, when you're reaching for a cigarette, you say, I have no desire for cigarettes. When you're lighting up a cigarette, you say, I have no...
And, the guy's and then like, you smoke it.
And the guy's like, you're crazy. You're crazy. He said, no, you keep declaring who you are in Christ.
Awesome.
And then there came a moment when he was free and he actually didn't want cigarettes.
He'd say that, then he'd smoke the cigarette. And one day he said it and he's put it away and he had wasn't out of a force. It wasn't out of a trying to do good. It was out of it. He'd actually been freed from the inside.
Now we had a friend that was struggling. Mm. They'd been a Christian for a few years, but they lived in a family where everyone was smoking.
Yep.
They'd been smoking. They didn't want to smoke.
Yeah.
But they couldn't not smoke. They tried patches.
Yeah, awesome.
They tried not to smoke. But they were in an environment.
Tried doing good.
But the family were all smoking. The smell of smoke. They just couldn't do it. So we gave them that teaching. We say, you do this. We show them the same message.
Yeah, awesome.
And they began to do that. And they said one day, they'd been saying this, even though they'd been smoking, said one day they reached for a cigarette and the thought of smoking repulsed them. It actually made them feel sick. They're like, oh, who would want to smoke? Never smoked again.
Awesome. Praise God.
Because what was in there was given the liberty. It was Jesus' freedom.
They spoke life into it.
It was not like patches and
gritting
teeth. I appreciate people taking the effort to not do something they don't want to do.
Totally.
But what it was, they drew in to what Jesus had done and the righteousness. They just began to proclaim, you know, Jesus is not a smoker. Jesus is not bound by this. Jesus is at liberty.
Awesome.
And because that I have that nature and I declare that I do not have a desire for this, based on who Jesus,
awesome.
And then one day, it became their reality.
Well, that is our prayer for you. I hope this has encouraged you. I hope this has given you some clarity about how you can go and approach life, approach these things going forward. Why don't you finish off? Why don't we quickly pray?
Yeah.
I'd love to pray for you. Pray that you can find that freedom and make this prayer your own as you go. So, Father God, I just thank you right now for every person is out there listening, Lord. I thank you that they are a new creature in you. They are a new creation in you. I thank you, God. Ultimately, we thank you and we praise you for the fact that you loved us enough that you would come and die on a cross to come and save us. God, I pray that we never lose sight of that or the awesomeness and the amazing testimony that is. But now we thank you, Lord, that was not the end of what you did on the cross. You didn't just take our sin, Lord. You gave us your righteousness. You gave us our new life, Lord. And now I pray that we, as we step out in faith, Lord, you will help us in this, Lord. Help these people, God. Help whoever's listening right now to unlock that new life, unlock that new creature, Lord. As they declare this with their mouth and as they trust in you and have faith in you, I thank you, they'll help them to do this good. Not, Lord, not because they need it to bring value or worth, but because they want to be an expression of what you've done inside of them, Lord. It will not be, they will start doing good, but it won't be out of effort or their own strength, Lord. They will start doing good as an expression of who they are inside, which is a new creature, the new creation, Lord. So that is our prayer right now, that I pray every single one of these people, as they hold on to this and take this and start declaring these words, we will see so many awesome stories come out of this, Lord, of what you have done, and people who have been turned around, flipped around, old person completely gone, and the new creation coming out. In your name, amen. Amen. That's our prayer. Bless you, family.
Bless you, guys.
We hope you enjoyed that. Please, if you'd like help with this or anything, feel free to contact us. That number up there, you can text us there.
Go to the website.
Go to our website.
There's plenty of opportunities to contact us and let us know, how we can help you.
One of the great things I'd recommend, go join a life group. We do life groups together. At Breakthrough, because God never intended for this journey to be done alone. And it may be a tough, maybe you're someone who that would bite at the old you. But know what? As we spoke about in the message, do take a step to show that you're not the old self. The old self could never have gone for help. Do this in a group. Do this in a community of people who are walking this same journey together. You can find that on the website as well, www.breakthrough.org.au. Go to that website, www.breakthrough.org.au. Contact us there. Find a life group. Get in a community of people where you can be doing this. Don't do this alone. We bless you, family.
Bless you, guys.
Enjoy this week. Go pray those prayers and have a great week. See ya.